I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome back to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium.
That's right. We're the pop culture professors. Smart people, dumb topics. I'm Caitlin Bitsagai.
And I'm Lauren Brickman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We do love it. Sometimes we love it. Today, we love it. And you know what's wild about us is that we both have, and I currently teach at the college level. Isn't that so wild?
Yeah. How was your day today at work?
Today I didn't have to deal with the students that much, but I was in a hiring committee all day because I have somehow gotten myself so tangled up in academia that Now I'm responsible for tangling others up in academia, and I don't know how I got here.
Yeah, your day job kind of went wrong here.
I don't know what happened.
Pretty soon you're going to be like provost of CUNY. And you're going to have to be like, I got to skip out on graduation to go to an audition.
It's so wild. I don't know. And at one point, the dean had to leave and she goes, well, why don't you take a phone call? I did one of the interviews by myself today. I did a pre-screen interview by myself today. I was like, how does this happen? Anyways, that's a wild thing that happened today.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, have any of you ever listened to my pop culture podcast?
I think if you had, you'd know I don't prefer these tasks. prefer to be talking about Joshua Jackson. Well,
thank you.
Lauren, we're not just here to talk about your woes. We're here to talk about stanning. So, so tell the listeners what stanning is.
Well, stanning is being an obsessive fan. You know, typically it's applied to celebrities or characters and franchises that you love. But, you know, here we have a real liberal idea of what stanning can be. And in fact, this week I'm really going to push the limits once again and pick an inanimate object. You know, we're circling right back to one of our favorite topics, and that's seltzer. Yeah, folks, I'm a woman in her mid-30s, so I come in hot with feelings about seltzers. And I got to say, Waterloo has a limited edition summer berry flavor that is crushing it right now. It tastes like summer. And honestly, Caitlin, if you could bottle the Chicks concert we went to at Jones Beach last weekend, it would be Waterloo summer berry flavor. And so I'm standing the summer berry flavor.
That's awesome. I think this is the second seltzer flavor you've stand in maybe a month.
That's where I'm at. It's what's getting me through the day.
I appreciate the recs. Mm-hmm.
So everyone get out there. Check out Waterloo Seltzer. Get that limited edition while you can. Caitlin, are you standing something a little bit more grounded in the world of pop culture this week or no?
Yes, but I think it only speaks to how ungrounded I am, because what I'm standing is Vulture, the website and, you know, beloved media critics. We've had Anne Victoria Clark on the show. We've had Devin Ivey on our live show. But for some reason, I never actually subscribed. And somehow this week I was like, it costs $3 a month for New York Magazine. Why am I doing so much work trying to get the free articles, like spending half a day trying to download something that I'm like, it's $3. And then ever since I did that, I'm like, I like reading all this stuff. This is giving me things to do, recommendations, and it's supporting literally my friends. So why did this take me about 20 years of adulthood to get to this point? There's been times where things have been really lean. I've had $3 for a while.
Yeah.
Well, so what went wrong? But Vulture, I guess, guys, I'm saying when there's a paywall, it's annoying, but if it's like $1, $3, just do it.
Okay. Well, can I borrow your login to your Vulture subscription?
Sure. Okay,
cool. Because I just don't know if I'm ready to buy in yet to a whole paywall.
Right. Thing. You still see some mooch element. But can you just Venmo me half the $150? Yeah. And then it'll just be like, you'll feel like a moocher at heart. And that's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time I need to talk to your husband, who I only communicate through Venmo conversations, I will send him $1.50 towards the Vulture account.
Okay. Excellent. Well, there's someone we want to communicate with on this podcast, not just through random transaction apps. Please welcome John Terry Gatson.
Hey.
Hello.
My goodness. Welcome. We are so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
And you are really the perfect guest, because you have also been a professor previously. Is that correct?
Yes, I have. When you guys were talking about it, I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Yes, I have. I was. Oh,
I saw the trauma in your eyes as we were talking. I was like, those are eyes that know. Those are eyes that have been there.
Eyes that know.
It's a special kind of club that we've all been a part of. Shockingly, we're not here to talk about our professorial traumas. We're here to talk about something way more fun, and that's TV family sitcoms.
Yeah, love it.
And you have recently written on the Upshaws, which is awesome.
Yeah, I did, for season 2 that just came out.
So exciting.
It's so fun. I'm so excited. I didn't realize season 2 had already come out. I'm so excited. I was such a big fan of season 1. This is so fun. Okay.
Things come out when Lauren discovers they came out. That's the release date.
So it just came out just now.
So yeah, exactly. The thing is that, Caitlin, I was just telling Caitlin that I felt like Only Murders in the Building like premiered last night, because that's when I realized that there were 3 episodes out already. So this is a recurring theme. I don't know what's going on. I blame the fact that summer school has me all screwed up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, but anyways, summer school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's confusing. I have no sense of time anymore. But I am so excited to be talking to someone who is so well-versed in the world of family sitcoms, because I have been such a fan of family sitcoms since I was a small child. In fact, my credential this week, the thing that I have to share with our listeners to let them know that we're talking about things that we really know about, is the fact that as a small child, my family went on vacation to San Francisco, and I made them drive around looking for the Tanner's front door for hours. Hours and hours.
Did you find it?
No! And I surely did cry the whole time.
Oh, no.
We never found it. We never found it.
Oh.
That's sad.
Well, I know. I know.
My credit is that I have done the exact same thing. And twice. But it's, Lauren, it's across from a park. That's why it's like.
I was going to say, you should have looked for that park. That's in the.
Yeah. Okay. In the that's intro. Why they chose it for shooting. Yeah. We'll take you back there. We'll take you. It's still there. That house must be worth so much money. I mean, it would be regardless.
That's true. That's true.
But I mean, with the added Tanner household.
Well, I know I'm jealous that you found it, but I feel safe to know that I wasn't alone in the 90s forcing family vacations to be turned into, you know, treasure hunts for a family that didn't really exist per se, but I felt like it did.
Why do you think they chose to set that show in San Francisco?
Great question.
That is a good question. Because he worked for that morning show.
Sure.
Wake Up San Francisco.
But that could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Huh. I guess it was just maybe like the beautiful opening, right?
Yeah.
Like it just looks pretty.
Yeah, they got it. They got a weekend trip to shoot that.
Yeah. Huh.
Always making deals.
Always making deals. You got to be making the deals. So what got you on the path to being a family sitcom lover? Was there an entry point for you, John Terry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh. I'd watched family sitcoms, of course, forever. But when Malcolm in the Middle premiered, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to write. Like, I wasn't even wanting to be a TV writer prior to that. It was like, I wanted to be a writer in general or like a stand-up comedian. But when I saw Malcolm in the Middle, I was like, I want to write like this. This family is messy. This feels real. There's no mushy like resolutions. It just, and it was hilarious. Yeah. That was it for me.
I love that. What a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like it's obvious that you are such an expert in this genre that I think it's time we just dive right into our first game.
Let's do it.
Oh, a game.
So we here at the show, we love the good old-fashioned Name That Tune, and we had to play a little bit of Name That Tune today with you. So I have collected a assortment of family sitcom theme songs, and I am going to play you the theme song and see if you can guess what show it's from. Are you ready, John Terry?
I am ready. This is exciting.
I'm excited. All right, here we go. Number one.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. And love and tradition of the grand design, some people say it's even harder to find. Well, then there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls, 'cause all I see is a tower of dreams.
Is this Full House?
No.
No, wait. Oh, no. Days Go By.
You know it. You know it.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot think of what it is. I know this song. I'm like seeing shadows of the. Oh, gosh.
You know it.
It's kind of a secretly advanced one, because once you start thinking of the other one, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard because it's of the same era and they all sort of like.
They sound very similar.
They sound very similar, but it's part of your soul.
It's not Family Matters, is it?
It is. No, but I know exactly. That, first of all, the beginning I feel like is almost exactly the same. And then once you have one in your head, it's
hard to unhear it.
Yeah. And also that song doesn't match the show at all.
No, it's. The intro to that show is such a bait and switch, I felt like. I was like, what is happening here? But I love it. All right. So you're one for one right now. And whew. I can feel that you're going to keep crushing it. Here we go. Number two.
Hello, world. Hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song. Stabbing along, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Is it the Partridge Family?
Yes, absolutely. Nailed it.
That one's so fun.
I had to put this one in here because when I was a little kid, I was so obsessed with these reruns. I think they were airing on like Nick at Night. And I remember being such a little brat and not wanting to come inside. And then my mom would say, like, well, I guess I'm watching Partridge Family by myself. And that would get me inside. That's how that she would get me inside.
Oh, my gosh. It used to be on, like, the mornings also in the summer. Like, TBS, the mornings. Oh,
yeah.
Love it. Oh,
I loved it. Okay. All right. You're crushing it. You're two for two. I feel like your winning streak is going to keep going. Here's number three. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near. The best is ready to begin. Oh, as long as we got each other, we got the world spinning right in our hands. Baby, you and me, we gotta be the luckiest dreamers ever been dreaming. As long as we keep on giving.
Oh, Family Ties.
Close.
Wait. What is it called? The best is... Oh, not Family Ties. With Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
Yes. What is that show called? Family... No. Kirk Cameron. Leonardo DiCaprio was in. All of their pictures are on the thing. Oh my gosh. What is the show called?
Listeners.
Is family in it? It's not Family Ties, because that's Alex Keaton.
Yes.
Same era.
But it's same energy.
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember the name.
It's the show that built the house that Robin Thicke grew up in.
Yeah. So it is important.
It is important. You were so close. I'm going to give you half a point because you got the Kirk Cameron. It was Growing Pains.
Growing Pains, yes. Oh, okay.
The comedy band Summer and Eve does the most amazing mashup of that theme song and Justin Bieber's Baby. Highly recommend.
Oh, that would work. Okay, well, yeah.
Okay, I know that. What I'm listening to the second we're done. All right. Well, that was... You were really, listeners, you couldn't see it, but I could see you doing the work. You were so close.
That's another one, though. Once you say Family Ties, that's going to be in your brain. You're not going to
be able to think of Growing Pains. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see if you can pick up what I'm putting down with number four.
This is life, the one you get. Trouble and have a ball. This is it. Straight ahead and rest assured. You can't be sure at all. So while you're here, enjoy the view.
Oh, one day at a time.
What if it wasn't?
I know.
That is actually Bones.
Honestly, I would have watched more episodes of Bones. I've been so re-obsessed with Gloria Estefan ever since I saw...
Oh, God.
The Father of the Bride.
I forgot that you were going to try to bring this up. Okay, go ahead.
John Terry, Caitlin doesn't support how much I love the new Father of the Bride.
Oh, the new.
No, I support you loving the movie, but again, you've tried to get lots of HBO Max commercials going on this podcast that it does not sponsor us.
I've been listening to all my Gloria Estefan a lot since seeing the movie, and then I remembered she did this theme song, so I had to include it. I had to. Oh, I love her.
Nice.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep going. We got a couple more. This next one, such a classic.
Is it Bewitched?
Close.
No, that's not a family sitcom. Leave It to Beaver?
So close. You're in the right era.
Oh, man. No, that's the Cleavers are on Leave It. I have no idea what that is.
We have started to get into the more challenging section. That was the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't think I ever.
Absolutely fair. I was roped into it when I found out that the guy from Mary Poppins had a TV show. I was like, sign me up.
That makes sense.
I said, sign my ass up, and I sat in front of that TV.
Oh, what a weird child.
Well, yeah, I was. I famously, when we moved from New York to Chicago, my mom was like, that was your first depression. I apparently sat on the couch for like a week and just watched Mary Poppins over and over again. It would end and I go, again. And I was like, two. Anyways. All right, we got two left. And they're not the easiest, but I believe in you. I'll give you a hint. This next one is a more contemporary show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. This one is probably very hard. It's not the easiest. It doesn't give you any clues.
Right.
Yeah, there's no clues. It's very short.
Yeah.
Now I'm just thinking of family sitcoms.
Mm-hmm. It's a newer one. I will say this. It did not originate in the United States, but it has been popularized here through the power of Netflix.
Oh. Wow.
And to be totally honest, it's really sneaking this in as just sort of a way to humble brag about a past guest we had on the show.
Okay. Yeah, I am not going to get it. What is it?
It's Kim's Convenience.
Caitlin, my gosh.
And to me, the unofficial song of lockdown, because I binged watched this show so much during lockdown, and thankfully that turned into me being like, I'm gonna slide into Andrew Fung's DMs, who played Kim Chi, and for whatever reason he agreed to be on the show and was so lovely. And he also has a new family sitcom out in Canada right now that I can't wait to run the burbs, and we can't wait for that show to come out here in the States. Every day I'm like, can we see it yet? When can we watch it?
So it's already premiered there.
It's already premiering there. They're doing that rude thing where they don't let us watch stuff. And I'm like, why y'all do that? We have the internet now. It's so rude. Canada, get out of here. All right. We have one final theme song. And something tells me that this would be a challenge for other people. But something tells me, John Terry, you're going to know one. I don't know why. I feel like you're going to know it. I'll be shocked if you don't. For some reason, I just feel a kinship here. Here we go.
That part.
Oh, is this be like Leave It to Beaver?
No.
Is this Bewitched? Honey, I'm home.
It wants you to think it is. It wants you to think that. But it's from the 90s.
Oh, okay. Wait. Oh, the 90s.
Oh, that's the right thinking though.
That's the right thinking. It's from our childhood, but it wants to be reminiscent of all of those other things. It's a weird one. It is a weird one.
Weird one.
It's a real weird call, but I feel like,
yeah, I have no idea, but I feel like when you say it, I'm going to have been familiar with it. Let's see.
Okay. It's the epitome of classic television, a real shining star, Dinosaurs.
Oh, Dinosaurs was good. Not the mama. I was never going to get that. But I remember that. Yes.
I just felt like you had the energy and spirit of someone who had seen that show.
I have, but yeah, I'm not that good at theme songs.
You're great. Yeah. Those last couple.
That was fun, though. That was fun, though. No, it really was.
I think you did a great job. And
yeah, killed it. Showed your
and
work.
You were showing the work, and you were putting the pieces together. You definitely passed this class with flying colors. Congratulations. Thank you. You're a certified TV theme song identifier.
Certified identifier.
Certified identifier. Nice. That's what this class was. Special topics and certification and identification. Well, that was so much fun. We are going to take just a quick break because you're so good at that we actually need you to solve some TV theme song mysteries off air.
Not content for the listeners. We do a lot of, we record a lot of stuff you guys never hear.
Because we are often consulting with detectives on active investigations of pop culture crimes. Right. We'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Wow, we are right back in it. We have solved another crime that we will never tell you about, listeners. And that's why it's time for Caitlin to reveal her thesis.
All right. I'm keeping it simple this week. And I think that's good because my concentration levels. So I want to talk about the one show I never hear anyone talk about anymore is Soap. John Terry, do you know Soap?
I heard of it. I think I was very little when it came out. But I can see flashes of it.
Right. It was one of the first, I saw it on Comedy Central. Like when Comedy Central first came out in the 90s, it was like, we have no programming. We will show all the soap most days. Like this was like before they had South Park even. I mean, there was nothing. Right. But the show originated in the 70s. It was actually like Billy Crystal's first credit. And if you look at the cast photo, it has about 12 people in it. It was a parody of a soap opera. But what I liked about it as a family sitcom is really it was about an extended family, which is what, you know, soap operas have to be because of all the plots they want. And this is what I want to see more of. Things about extended families. And as Lauren knows, chaotic family, I don't relate to things just being like one nuclear family and then that's like how everything revolves around. Like, I'm used to mess. Like, one time I went on a vacation with three of my cousins and three of my aunts. None of us were siblings and we went with none of our parents. Like, it was just absolute. Like, if we were to get pulled over, it would have been totally inscrutable situation of what was going on. But we're like, it's fine. And you know, you say Malcolm in the Middle. I love that they always had that older brother that was at military school.
Yeah, and it's like we didn't find out about him. It felt like he came out of nowhere.
That's just real life to me. And I like the messiness. And Modern Family did have a big cast, but to me, it was a little neat. You know, it was a little like, in what it was trying to present, I mean, it succeeded, obviously. But to me, it's like, I want to see one where like a nephew lives with his uncle, but not because he's like on bad terms, just because of like very strange circumstances with his school district.
And, oh, that's fun. Like, yes, I love that.
Also, text chains. We need to bring back a extended family sitcom that incorporates the text chains.
Oh, that's
because there are, like, my dad is one of 11 siblings. 8 are living. They are all on one text chain that if they're in the same room that and they're all older, that means every notification is going off. You're in a room where you're hearing 8 phones go off at once. But then there's sub text chains. And then like some people are included in some and not others. And it's chaos. Just episodes about that. That's a whole season.
Yeah.
I also like the show Sybil in the way that it represented. She had 2 daughters and they were half siblings. They had different dads. And that is my family dynamic as well. And that's never represented on television. And it's so strange
that's
because
so
it's
true.
So common. It's bizarre. Or like if there are stepbrothers and stepsisters or half siblings, it's always like, this is weird. Got to get used to this guy. And it's like, no, he's been around.
Like, yeah. We didn't just meet when they moved in.
Exactly. Like there's been decent racial diversity in family sitcoms. There could always be more. But like there hasn't been different family, and definitely there's been economic diversity, but like there just hasn't been different family types. And I think that's just not honest. Yeah.
A good one is the Bernie Mac show. He had his two.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, his niece and nephew that lived with him that he was raising.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of others. Yeah.
I also think that you don't see a lot of like mixed race families still. And
that's true.
So weird to me. I just don't think that's really speaking to anyone's experience anymore. Mm-hmm. Or it is even like on Modern Family, they had the adopted Asian American daughter, but like that was like a thing. Like,
I
want like a 17-year-old. You know, Asian kid to walk in and no one ever mention it for like 8 episodes.
Yeah.
But then when we are going to mention it, let's do it like with respect and thinking. It doesn't have to be like.
He's the subject something. Like, oh, how are we going to deal with this difference?
we got a difference and we also got to make a lasagna. It's like. Let's just make the lasagna and then one day we'll deal with it. Like all families, we'll bury this deep.
Exactly.
Come on.
That's what you want. You want more swept under the rug, extended family story. We lift the rug at the season finale.
Just so you can leave and go to someone else's house. Also, just like my grandma used to have one landline phone number, and then like one of my living aunts still has it. Just like weird shit like that that you don't know what talks about, or like fights over $170.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid stuff.
I want to see two characters not talk to each other for a whole season.
Yeah.
Or six seasons.
Yeah. And then there's no, then one day you just see them together and you're like, I guess it was fine.
Totally.
Like, no, that's real. I want extended families, but I guess I'm saying I almost want more mess or like just more not cookie cutter families. Yeah. I think everyone's not funny. and I just don't know who can relate to that anymore.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, there's
always like an ideal that we're making this the ideal that people think they're failing if they don't have it. When really, if a majority of us are doing, you know, that's not even what majority of us are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's something to think about.
Yeah. Or like co-parenting people in your life.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody's co-parenting.
Yeah.
Like everybody's co-parenting. Yeah.
That was one of the, I was really bummed when that TV show Single Parents got canceled, because that was one of the things that I really loved about that show, is that it's like a community of friends working together. Because it's like, what do you do when you like relocate for a job and you don't have like a grandma or grandpa around, or like, you know, like what? I loved that. That was so fun. And I don't know. Yeah. I love when that happens. I love seeing that stuff.
Yeah. Marlon Wayans show.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some co-parenting there.
More co-parenting. More extended family. I'm here for
more. Yes, I think that's such a good point.
It's just, and also like only from like creating the show point of view, only gives you more things to play with, more great stories. Actors to work with, fewer limitations.
Well, you're absolutely right, because families have that, like, right? Like, I had a relative that I knew only as the shadow, and I've only met that person once in my life. Yeah.
Wait, Lauren, this might be a CIA thing.
Right?
No, I had my grandmother, who I took care of, her brother, his brother-in-law lived with him and was an agoraphobic who wouldn't go outside.
Oh.
His name was Bob, and so they called Bob the Shadow. But all growing up, I would hear stories about the Shadow, and I never met the Shadow. And then finally, when I was like in my 20s, I think, my uncles were going up to check on their Uncle Tom, and they were like, you get to meet the Shadow today. And so they brought me with them and the whole time we were at the house, he doesn't come downstairs. And then my uncles and Uncle Tom, everybody goes in the backyard to look at something. And I was in my house alone. And then the Shadow came downstairs for like 60 seconds. We looked at each other. And then I ran outside. And that was the one and only time I ever saw the Shadow. But I've heard stories about him my whole life.
Oh my gosh.
This is like your great uncle, or?
So this would have been my mom's uncle. So yeah, Uncle Tom was my great uncle. So it's his brother-in-law. Uncle.
That's not that removed for someone to just
It's his brother-in-law. My great uncle's brother-in-law. Yeah.
Got it.
But yeah. Still. But still, but he lived with my Uncle Tom, who sent me a birthday card every year. And I met Uncle Tom and the Shadow's sister, Bob's sister, Aunt Flo. I met her. They called him the Shadow. But like what's horrifying is if we sat here, there's so many stories like that in every family. You're right. Like,
no, that's true.
Well, there's many people.
Well,
like,
maybe not just like that.
Certainly not just like that. And you do need to think about that one a little bit. But there are so many things that, like, it depends on who hosts stuff in your family. Like, in my family, my Aunt Tony hosts a lot of things. So her husband's family would be around as much as. So it's like they're sense. Like aunts and uncles too. It's just. You know, who's got a game room can define who you think of as an aunt and uncle.
I know. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and family dynamics change so much when people move, like houses change or when people pass away or get remarried or different things like that. Like, so like, yeah, when you include the rest of the extended family, things are shifting and changing all the time.
Yeah, what? I want this show to have truly a different cast every season. Like three people leave and four people come in, no matter what. And sometimes they can come back.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but that was like, that would happen a lot. Like, you'd have a holiday where like there'd be a run of years where like you'd see the same characters at Christmas, and then like every 3 or 4 years the cast would change.
1,000% that happens.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just now realizing that there were relatives, like, on my my aunt's side that I used to see every year for like many, many years. I haven't seen these people in probably a decade. And I don't, ain't nobody tell me where they are. I don't know where these people are. I just haven't seen them.
I know.
Them.
And all that stuff that happened before social, you are yeah. like, did I make those people up?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not following yeah. any of them on social media. Are you kidding me?
I mean, not the shadow.
No, the shadow.
The shadow.
The shadow is absolutely not on social media of any kind.
He is, because that seems like
no. He is off. He is off the grid. The man is not on the grid.
Okay,
all right. That's not positive.
Yeah, it actually. The more I'm talking about it, the darker it actually gets.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you listen to this episode and there's lots of just weird omissions, just know Lauren told a story that concerned us. John Terry DM'd me after. You gotta get.
I don't want anything to do
with the shadow.
We did not endorse the shadow. The shadow just exists.
And honestly, I'm not going to go into the details. The shadow's not even the most concerning member of that family.
I think you need to.
Imagine he doesn't have a lot of stress, except for not wanting to leave his room. But other than that, like he's not impacted by other people.
Yeah, I think up until the point he had to leave his room, he was doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out to Shadow, man. Well, you know.
On that note. Well, thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for helping me process some questions from childhood.
I hope the shadow's listening.
I think it's time to play another game. A game, yes. So this game is called Friend of the Family, because our favorite TV sitcom families would be nothing without their annoying, beloved, wise, wild friend who is essentially a part of the family. I'm going to describe the family's relationship to the friend, and you're going to give me that friend. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. This show was about a family, but the nerdy neighbor stole the show. Yes. He did do that.
Family Matters.
Yes, and the character
Urkel.
Steve, we love Urkel
or Stefan.
Right. Well, Stefan is welcome. All right. This fuzzy short alien crash landed into the Tanner's garage and soon became a member of the family.
What? Fuzzy short alien? Oh, Al.
Yes!
Oh, when you said Tanners, I was thinking of...
I know! I didn't realize until I put this together that they both had that.
Wow,
we need to write
that's
that.
Interesting.
How are they related?
Wow, Elf. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Well, that's how we're different.
I think about... Yeah.
I think about it every day.
all right. The nephew's friend from home. This guy just wanted to not get kicked out of the house.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and it is Jeff.
Yes. I love that they created that role for him. But they weren't going to let him think he was, you know, adding value. we love him. I love him. All right. She was the oldest daughter's best friend, but the men of the house hated her.
Was that on Full House, the blonde girl?
Mm-hmm.
Kimmy.
Yes!
Kimmy Gibbler.
And I gotta say, Kimmy is throwing down for the women, because most annoying friends and neighbors are always men, but Kimmy really showed
what
we could do. Broke that glass ceiling. And it's not okay that the grown men were often like,
so terrible. They were so terrible to her.
I never thought about that. That's awful.
All right. 4 for 4. Last one. I think you could do this. You could pull it at home. The tool man, his wife, and 3 sons live next to this wise neighbor whose face we never saw.
The guy at the fence in Home Improvement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is his name? Wilson?
Yes!
Yeah! Crushed it. Absolutely crushed it.
And I gotta say, that was the best Halloween costume I've ever seen in New York. Someone riding the subway as Wilson. They built a fence in front of their face.
I love
that. That's brilliant.
That's so smart.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely. I mean, you killed it.
You crushed it.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel good. I feel really good about that one.
Straight A's.
Just an annoying. Did your guys' immediate families have an annoying neighbor kid?
As you were talking about the Kimmy Gibbler of it all, I do remember having a friend that was not beloved by all. Mm-hmm. I do remember having a bit of a Kimmy Gibbler.
That's funny.
I'm worried. I just was thinking, I'm like, what if oh, no. I was the
oh, no, yeah. If you can't identify oh, one.
I know. I was like.
I'm sure I was somebody's Kimmy Gibbler. I can't imagine I wasn't.
My brother had a friend who might fit this category. Shout out, love you. You know who you are if you're listening. And he would call the pizza delivery and they recognized his voice and would ask him if he's at home or at our house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I was the annoying friend, but not to the whole family. It was just yeah. to the my friend's older sister. She would always be like, don't you... She would jokingly, but right. seriously mm-hmm. say, don't you ever go home. Don't yeah. you ever go home.
It was a little serious. It wasn't... Yeah. yeah.
See, was. my house was sort of... My mom was the Girl Scout leader, so, like, everybody was always at our house, always. But I had one friend, and to my friends who have known me since childhood, trying to figure out who I'm talking about, y'all ain't gonna figure it out, so don't even try. But I had a friend who, the reason she was kind of a Kimmy Gibbler was she would famously leave messages on the answering machine as if it was a private answering machine, but it was like the whole family could hear the messages every time. And so my family knew way too much about everything going on in this girl's life because she would leave these epic Odyssey-like messages. Oh, no. And so that's sort of what created the Kimmy Gibbler-like existence.
I could see that.
Wow.
You know. Anyway,
I love it. Wow. Well, thank you for playing Friend of the Family.
So good.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. These games are good.
Well, we're going to take a quick break because the shadow's calling me and I got to see what it means. We'll be right back.
Oh my God, this is a horror movie. Together.
All right. Turns out it was just my own shadow. Nothing to be worried about. So
it'd be scary.
It's still a little scary, but I have a short thesis tonight, y'all. I'm not nothing too crazy, but I want to first, before I say anything, ask, when you think of families that were otherworldly, let's say, you know, not your run-of-the-mill human families, what TV families do you think of?
I think of two.
Okay.
The more recent one was The Neighbors. Which,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually loved that show.
I loved that and show, then, too.
Yeah, and then the one where they were, Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one. I love both of those.
The Jetsons is different, but...
Yeah, but yeah. So good. See, for me, the one that always comes to mind, and I feel like there are some of us out there, but there's not as many of us as I would like. It's the Munsters. That is the family I think of. Because, yeah, right? So, I don't know about y'all, but growing up, I was obsessed with them. And I also think this was a little bit like, you know how sometimes people will pretend like the Rolling Stones are better than the Beatles just because they want to be like a little edgier or something? I feel like maybe the Munsters was my reaction to everyone always talking about the Addams Family.
Right.
But I went hard in my Munster fandom and stand-up. And I stand by it. And I just think that I got really excited when Caitlin was talking about doing a family sitcom episode because I was like, oh, I've been thinking about the Munsters a lot because it's a show that I feel like has come up in conversation and in my classroom. And it's one that I like often have like crickets when I mention. Like people will be like, what's that?
Right.
Or it takes them a long time. And I'm like, how does this not like just live rent free in your mind on all times? Because 1313 Mockingbird Lane, it was the address I wished I lived at as a kid because I just thought they were so fun because the thing about them was that they were so like just goofy. Like the Munsters were just goofy as hell, and they really loved each other, which I know the Addams Family did too, but there was something like there's just something so delightful.
I'm a little dubious. You probably need to question the love of the Addams Family.
I don't know, there was just something about it that felt so lovely. And I think a big part of it was that in the original series, Fred Gwynne played Herman Munster, and his performance is just like so lovely. And you had, it was just such a fun cast. And the crazy thing is, I hadn't realized, because I felt like as a kid there were so many episodes, it was only on the air for 2 seasons. And I think that is so insane when I think about it. And what's even crazier to me is that it was like winning awards. It was nominated for Golden Globes, and it was like doing relatively well. And then it just was gone after 2 seasons. However, it is fun that I think part of the reason I got so into it was that in the 90s, they did have like a couple of like TV sort of specials, a couple things here and there. They did do a movie after the season 2 ended. They, back in the 70s, they did a movie. They did a couple of different fun little kitschy things. But what I was going to make my thesis about today was that I thought it was time for a reboot. And then I found out, unfortunately, the reboot has already been done and I was not involved. And I am very upset and I'm very nervous because it's supposed to come out later this year.
Oh, wow. So it's like imminent.
It's imminent. It's supposed to be coming out like in the fall. And here's the scariest part of all. It is going direct to Peacock and it's directed by Rob Zombie.
Wow.
Now, if you're not sure who Rob Zombie is, he was the man behind the band White Zombie, and he mostly does horror movies as a director.
Right.
No, that's not
so
what
it's a different.
But he swears that he's not going that direction. He swears that people will be shocked, and he says it's rated PG.
So why'd they like get him to do it?
That's weird
that they would get him to do it.
I'm hoping it's just because he's a super fan and he came to them and they were the ones willing to do it.
I like that.
I don't know. I wanted to believe it was a passion project, but I've seen some conflicting reports. So Stans, Caitlin, Jontar, I started my journey coming up with like, how do we do a reboot of the monsters? I was so excited, and I am ending my day in fear and also just like mostly hurt because And this is, you know, this will be fun to find out. If you're listening to my manager, how come you didn't get me an audition? How you not get me an audition for this? I didn't get no interview. I didn't get no audition. I'm not even a PA. Nobody thought to call me.
I mean, it's wrapped. I mean, you're not even getting on the marketing team.
No.
I mean, you're not doing it. My name will not be
on this in any way, and I'm upset.
Had your manager, shout out if she's listening, gotten you an audition, what would you want to play?
Oh, yeah, good question.
That is a great question. So in anticipation of talking about it today, I rewatched the original pilot of the original series today. And in the pilot, it's so smart. If you haven't seen it, the premise is they have a niece who is like a stunning, like very stereotypical blonde haired, blue eyed Betty. And she's dating this very normalized, heteronormative idea of good looking male. And the Munsters get invited to a costume party. And so they fit in at this costume party, and then it's revealed that no, like actually they're Munsters. Anyways, but while they're at the party, while they're at the masquerade party, to be precise, because they, you know, they're covering up, there is a neighborhood friend of Marilyn, who's their niece, and it's her, this like neighborhood mom is this babysitter for the little boy, and the whole episode she's like clearly trying not to be terrified of the house. It keeps cutting back and forth to her at this babysitting this little boy who's like howling and all this other stuff. And I think she was so good. And I was like, I would love to be that person. The like neighborhood lady.
I love
like,
that.
I think you could like blow it up. I would love to be like the woman next door. But my trajectory is I want to like become cool with them. Like I want to be the lady that like sets the tone. That's like, you know what? They're doing their own thing and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's my vibe. I love at the end when they're like, we hope he wasn't too bad for you. She's like, other than the strange howling, I wouldn't have even known he was here. And it was like, I don't know. Anyways, I want to be the neighborhood lady.
Wow.
I like that. And maybe you could be the regular babysitter or even the
something
nanny.
Like that. A nanny, or maybe even, you know, there's maybe in the reboot, grandpa is like real hot. Maybe I start dating grandpa. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Because I don't want to try and step on Marilyn's toes. That's not for me to do. I'm not a Marilyn. I'm not trying to be part of the Munster family. They're too pristine for me, but I'm just trying to be adjacent to them, you know?
Right.
Munster adjacent.
I'm looking at the cast photo now, and I think Grandpa is the most iconic to me.
Yes. Oh, Grandpa, I mean, Herman, the dad, is probably the, like, he's goofy Frankenstein.
It seems to me they missed out on the 90s movie reboot that helped a lot of these shows kind of relevance.
It's because theirs went to TV.
Yeah, but I mean, they needed one in, like, 1997.
Yeah.
Like the Flintstones movie.
Mm-hmm. And
that was, like, huge. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Adam's Family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. They had one that went straight to TV, and that was it. And it wasn't as big as it could have been. But you know, I heard that there have been many attempts to do a reboot, including back in 2017, Seth Meyers had a deal with NBC to reboot the Munsters, but have it take place in modern day Brooklyn.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they ended up passing on it. And there was also in 2012, the team behind Pushing Daisies had a show called Mockingbird Lane. That was ended up.
I think this.
Yeah, that one was ended up being turned into like just like a one off special. It never got picked up. And yeah, it's pretty, pretty rough. And also another thing that I learned was that the Wayans brothers, Keenan, Sean, and Marlon had a deal back in 2004 that they were also supposed to ink a reboot.
Okay, that was it.
People love this.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
It should have been the Wayans. They have the love.
It never ends up happening, though, right? Like, all of these deals fall through. How come Rob Zombies actually got made? And again, I ask, without me?
Well, what about when you do season two? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe the movie will be such a hit that then they're like, oh, we have to take it to series now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. This is a movie?
Oh, no, it's a movie.
I thought it was a series, too.
No, it's a movie.
Well, I think that's as good news for you. I think this is good news for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because when they do the movie to series, it's never the exact same people. So you're going to come in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel a little bit better now. That puts me a little bit more at ease.
No, this actually puts you in a good position. They're going to do the legwork of rebooting it.
Okay.
You're going to come in at the success level.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I can maybe sleep tonight now.
No more crying.
Thank you. Thank you both for making me feel so much better. Now, before we say goodbye, are there any family TV sitcoms that we haven't talked about that you were like, when you heard the theme, you were like, ooh, we got to talk about this? Or any out there?
Oh, Malcolm in the Middle was the one that
Of course.
Oh, but go ahead.
Are there any that you feel like people don't talk about enough that you're always like, how come you haven't watched insert?
Oh, but you know what's funny is I like a lot of family dramas.
Oh, cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm a big, I guess, just family show person in general. But family dramas, I think, don't get talked about enough, like The Fosters. And
I just did a whole rewatch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that show. Yeah.
So good. So good. Do you watch Good Trouble? It's so good.
I couldn't get into Good Trouble. I need to give it another chance.
It took me a minute, but now I'm all in. Now I'm all in.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
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 I've never felt safer. I've never felt safer in my entire life. I feel held and
your day is looking up.
Yeah, you know, it's been touch and go. I haven't been feeling 100% myself, but between the cold medicine kicking in and your kindness, things are looking up.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, John Terry, now that everyone's fallen in love with you, including Lauren, she's getting a pin out to write down your info. Where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, I'm on twitter.com/J2TheT, like JayTotheTee. And then I'm on Instagram at John Terry G. That's really it. Those are the ones I like to use.
That's great. And, you know, she's written all of the television that you've ever seen. So just watch, just turn on the television.
Yeah, turn on TV and she's there.
Well, Stan says, you know, you can find us at We Stan Social. We'll, of course, link to all John Terry's accounts so you can find her easily. And Stan says, you know, I think now's the time. I think you got to slide into our DMs and let us know more episode ideas and guest ideas, because we haven't heard from you in a second, or we haven't listened to you in a second. But we're willing to listen. We're coming to the table.
Yep. And if you have any connections to the people who put the movie The Monsters together at Peacock, and you would like to lend me their ear, I'm willing to have a conversation. I think we can work through how to make it a better world.
Amazing. Well, until next time, Stan Stans. Love you. Bye.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Now the Backstreet Boys are on.